It's good to be here with y'all today, and what I've got on my mind is a big subject, and that's our God. He's a big God. He is the only one. I think a lot of times we might forget just exactly how powerful our God is. Lord be our helper, we're going to try to scratch the surface of comprehending some of that today. We'll start at the beginning. In Genesis, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Now that's a pretty short sentence, but there's a lot within that. I mean, just look out the window and you can only see just a part of this earth. And God created it. And He created it from nothing. He spoke this creation into existence. We could go down through Genesis and see what all was recorded on which day. And then we get to verse 27 of chapter 1. It says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." We are created in the image of God. And, you know, we can look at other places in the Scripture where it says, you know, His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. We can see, you know, some of that imagery there. But He has this creative power. In the field that I work in, I'm in computers, and technology's come a long way. I'm learning about software now where we can just write the code to actually build a computer that we need just from code. It's amazing. But I have to have something to work with. God didn't have anything to work with. He just spoke. There it is. It says the stars are His handiwork.
That's right.
And you know, with the equipment with that we have been blessed of God to develop, you know, wisdom comes from Him. We're so fragile. We're made from dust. You know, we can see the stars and examine them just this the creation beyond this earth. And you know, we've sent technology out into space, and the further it gets away, the smaller the earth appears. And well, if you just think about when you're flying in an aircraft and you look down and the mile sections just look like little squares on a quilt.
Yeah.
The vehicles that we travel in just look like ants or little bugs. You can't see the people that are down there. And that's just being a few thousand feet up in the air. And yet, our God takes notice of us. And He can know what is going on in the lives of all of His people at all times. He sees us here right now. He sees our brethren on the other side of the world, whatever situation they may find themselves in. And He can help all of us at the same time with whatever we need. That's, you just can't hardly comprehend that. I can't, anyway. And you know, we can turn to Exodus and look at His deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt and all of those plagues that He brought upon the Egyptians. You know, had I been a member of Israel back then, and I would have heard that the Lord had sent someone to deliver us, I probably would have been thinking, well, hey, let's go. All right, there's a deliverer, let's go. You know, God doesn't work in the way that we always would work. Seldom does he work in that way. He had some more things he wanted to show. And he showed his people and the Egyptians who God was.
Amen.
See, the Egyptians had some false gods. And God showed them just exactly who he was. And once Pharaoh finally decided to let them go, and then they're caught between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army with only the pillar there. But you know, that was the Lord there keeping that army away. And Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And our God, that created this world, parted that Red Sea, and the children of Israel walk across on dry ground. The Egyptians followed after them. It wasn't very dry for them. He took care of their enemy. They were swallowed up in that sea. But you know, just like us, it wasn't very long that they began to get a little uncomfortable with their situation. And they complained to Moses, "Well, you just brought us out here in the wilderness to kill us. Weren't there graves in Egypt?" But the Lord was gracious and merciful. How many times has he delivered his people? And I'm including us in that when we complain, despite our complaining. Over in Isaiah, there's so much over in there. We'll be in Isaiah 43. This creator that we're speaking of, this, you know, we've heard about his love already. And to think that he would take notice of us, you know what? I guess it was David that says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" This God that we're talking about says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob." He's identifying him as his creator. Jacob, don't forget. And we heard about Jacob this morning. And how he was a scoundrel. "Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee." This God that we're talking about, our Creator, he's also holy. And he can't look upon sin. And his people that he had set his love upon, it says when it said that Christ died for sinners. You know, that's good news to a sinner who's been touched by the hand of God. That's good news, but this holy God, when we were yet sinners, when we were enemies, Christ died for us. He didn't look at us and say, "Well, you know, they're doing some good," or there wasn't anything in us that he saw. In Romans, it tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. And it describes that their throat is an open sepulcher. And just if you read that, I mean, a sepulcher is a grave. That's where dead men are. There's not going to be much pleasant there. And the poison of asps is under their lips. And when we were in that condition, Jesus died for us. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. He bought us. He paid the price with his blood. When thou passest through the waters. He didn't say if, he said when. You know, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You know, when we join with the church and when we are trying to follow after the Lord, it's not going to be easy. You know, we're deceived if we think that, well, you know, that's it. You know, life's just going to be good. We've got trials that we have to face. We've got an enemy. And he's stronger than we are. But you know what? His power pales in comparison to that of our God. You know, he may be able to overpower us, but we have help. Because we can't fight him in our own strength. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. Look at the possessiveness there. I am the Lord thy God. He's our God. The Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. You ever thought about being precious in the sight of the Lord? You are. It says so right here. How can we be precious in his sight? Well, it's because of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Down in verse 11 it says, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. He is the Savior. Period. Go over to Isaiah 46, in verse 5, he says, to whom will ye liken me? You see, just before this, he's talking about some of Babylon's idols. And the Lord says, to whom will you liken me? And make me equal, and compare me that we may be like. You see, there's nobody that compares to our God. In verse 10, it says, declaring the end from the beginning. Now think about that. He has declared the end from the beginning. You know, he sees everything. He sees all of time. And, you know, we can't see the future. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow.
Amen.
And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. You know, there may be things that I intend to do, I plan to do, I want to do, and I may not follow through with them, or something may come up and change that. But with God, he says, I will do all my pleasure. Amen. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. The Lord, you know, when he said that he came down, not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him, and this is the Father's will, that of all he should give him, he shall lose nothing. Shall lose nothing. He's not going to lose anything. Jesus succeeded in what he came to do. And over in Isaiah 49 and 15, a question is asked that is, it's hard to consider one of the answers. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? You know, since I am a father, and you know, it was we were told at one point we would never have children, and so the fact that we have our son is a great blessing from the Lord. And to think that a woman could forget that child, that's hard to imagine for me. But here in the Word of God, it says, yea, they may forget, but I will not forget thee. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. My son is learning sign language. I don't know how many of you may know any of it, but the sign for Jesus is that. Point to the palms of the hands, and that's the sign in American Sign Language for Jesus. I want to go over to Ephesians real quick, because while we're trying to comprehend how great our Lord is, and we've been here before, verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Think about those words there in that order. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You can't out-imagine or think or ask something that God is not able to do.
Amen.
Now, there may be things you would ask that he won't do.
That's true.
But it's not because he couldn't. According to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto him, unto God be glory. You know, it's not about us. It says that this power worketh in us, but it's not about us. It's about God. I want to go over to Psalm 18 real quick. Psalm 18. We have here the Psalm of David when he had been delivered from the hands of his enemies, the hand of all his enemies, and from the hand of Saul. It just dawned on me that, you know, that Saul pursued after David because David was anointed of God to be the next king. Saul had already messed up. He had rejected the Lord, and so he was rejected from being king. And the king of Israel is pursuing after this shepherd boy. And at one point David says, who am I but a dead dog that the king of Israel would pursue after me? But notice here it says, from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He made a difference there between his enemies and Saul. And he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. That word rock there, as I understand it, is a word that means like a crag, which is a mountainous area that's like separate from the rest of the mountainous areas. Sometimes it has a tail in it, and it slopes upward to a point. And my fortress, that's like a castle. And my deliverer, that's pretty easily understood there. Yeah. One who delivers. The Lord delivers us. My God. You know that word there is El, and that means strength, if I recall correctly. I mean, that's our God is strong. He's the Almighty. There is none stronger, none whose power compares. My strength, in whom I will trust. That word trust is like you're going to flee for refuge. You know, we can flee for refuge to our God. My buckler. A buckler is a shield. And a lot of times it would have a rounded piece in the middle that would deflect the darts or the arrows of the enemy. And the horn of my salvation and my high tower. This is the God whom David called upon. This is the same God that we can call upon. He is a strong, mighty refuge in this world. Whatever we may face, whatever our enemy may send our way, we have that help. We have that strength. The same strength that David slew Goliath with. The same strength that delivered the three Hebrew children from the fire, the fiery furnace that was so hot it slew the strong man that threw them in. The same one who paid the price for our sins. You know, he didn't just do that and he's done with us. It says he's making intercession for us. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I thank you for your attention.